pray for me today. Pray, I'll be going on a little trip here for long and be out west a little while, going out to see my daughter and spend some time with her and help her on her house a little bit. And you pray for me as I'm gone. I want to try to help my daughter spiritually and her family. And that's a big burden on my heart. And I pray that you'll pray with me about that. And I'll be the example that I should be for them out there. So now, we're going to go on. We've been looking here last week. Now, Brother Ernie, he got me in trouble. He said I was meddling. And wife said, now you are being mean again. I said, no, I wasn't mean. But we've been looking at our Redeemer and what we're redeemed from. Curse of sin. And we're going to look at, continue on with that a little bit today. And what Eve saw, what happened with her when she sinned in the garden. But I want us to turn to 1 John 2:16. And we'll start there. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we're going to look at this and say Genesis 3:6. Turn back there. And as I've said probably every week here for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, when the devil deceived Eve, when he deceives all of us, most of the time, he doesn't tell a lie doing it. He just misuses the truth, misplaces it. Everything that he tells Eve here, it's true. It's going to happen. But he gets her eyes in the wrong direction. Now, but we covered that a week or so ago, so we're just going to look at this one verse here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The lust of the eyes. You know, America spends thousands of dollars on the lust of the eyes. Advertisement. Why do you think there's so many? Look at beer commercials. Everything will a pretty woman to advertise a Coca-Cola, a candy bar. You see what I'm talking about? America spends thousands of dollars for the lust of those eyes. And when lust is conceived, it brings death. Now, I'm going to move on from here. But, and when the woman saw that the tree was good, we're going to look at some scriptures here. Turn to James. If you don't want to turn with me to all the scriptures I'm going to hit today, that's fine. But in James 1:14-15, James summarizes this thing. And we're going to look at today's several places of scripture where how sin it started in that second and third chapter starts right there in the front of the Bible and goes all the way through and show how Jesus Christ took care of it. All right? James 1. Let me get there. I'm talking. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Surely there's no shadow of turning, and I want us to watch today two words that we see there. The devil said, you shall not surely die. surely and freely. Man has been given freely a lot of wonderful things. Through marriage, you look at the marriage that we're given, a wife that we're given. God has blessed us. Marriage is holy and a bed undefiled. Freely given. God, they say, well, David tried it over in Psalms 51. You know that when he said, Lord, you made me this way. How many times have we read that in this class? It didn't work for him and it won't work for us. It's not going to work. David said, for I was conceived in sin and sin. He said, before you judge me now, remember, like God's going to forget, that I was conceived in sin. Sin did my mother conceive. That don't work. No excuse. It didn't work for David. We'll look at some more of this in just a minute. Then we got the story of, Achan. What we need to do, and it's going to happen, all these sins are going to be laid out before God. We don't have time in this lesson today to run that trail, but you know how they took everything from under the tent where Achan had hid it and then laid it out in front of the elders of Israel there. And there was judgment. And sin is going to be, it's going to be laid out just like that. Everything a man does. You know, we're all the saved, the poor, the rich, the poor, all of us. Everything. And it says when sin is finished. And now I want us to turn to 2 Samuel 11:2. I want us to look at David's eyes here. There's a lot we can learn from this. And what I want us to pay particular attention to is the wording here. You know, you can get on a theme in the Bible here, and it'll run from the beginning to the end. Now, 11. Let's just go to 2 Samuel 11 here. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman. Remember the lust of the eyes. And James said, when it is conceived, it bringeth sin. David, he saw and he took. Then he even pronounced judgment on himself with the prophet. We'll look at that here. But look at in verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. God didn't put that in there just for any reason. He was supposed to be on the battlefield. He was in the wrong place. And his eyes got him. Now, where was Uriah? Look at the steadfastness. We'll cover that today. Look at the steadfastness of Uriah when David tried to cover his sin, using Uriah to cover his sin. But Uriah said, no, Joshua abides in tents. Lord, or Joab, he said, abides in tents. And Israel in tents. I will not go in my house. And he didn't. See, he was in the right place and doing the right thing. And he stuck with the stuff. All right? But David is in the wrong place. And then it says, let me read this and go on. And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass at evening tide that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired. See, that act of the will is what happened. And that act of the will, when he looked, he could have turned, couldn't he? But he didn't. And it goes on. And what's it going to bring? Death. Now let me get my notes going here with me. But I want us to turn. Let's turn.
Don't you think he might have stayed there for that reason? Didn't go to battle because he already knew where it was.
That's a possibility. Yeah, it's a possibility. Could be. Yeah. Well, if it worked for him, it worked against him. Psalms 51. I want us to look at this. You know, David's a man of God's own heart. I take nothing from that man. Look what God said, the wonderful things about David. But you know what he was? He was a man. And God said, let God be true and every man a liar. Right? When I give you something here, you got the scope, microscope to put it under. You can put it under it. I'll do my best to give you truth. But you've got the microscope. You can put what I say right under it and look at it. Psalms 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. You know, I believe it's over in about Psalms 26. David said 13 times, I. Now, it's good things I have not done. I look at that this way. God's going to say, well, we'll see. You know, I mean, we'll see. When you go to exalting yourself, that's the same thing Satan did. Exalting himself. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and that thou mightest. Now, look at this. I know I've used this before in here, but this, you better be careful with statements like this. Look what he says. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Who's he talking to? He's talking to God, to the Lord. Does he think God's not going to be clear when he speaks or justified? He's trying to cover. That man wants to cover his sin, does he not? And then when he repents of it, he wants to blame it on somebody else. You know, it's your nature. That little, I've used this illustration, but I've always got somebody new. My little girl, I'll never forget, I laughed, and I think about it every time I go to and read in Genesis. How when Kay was trying to potty train her, and where would she go to use the bathroom? Go get behind the curtain. Who taught her how to hide? Did Mama teach her how to hide? No, it's her nature, as good as anything. When she was disobeying what Mama said or wanted to say, and she knew it, she'd go get behind the curtain. And then when she got a little older, she'd make excuses and blame it on somebody else. That's all of us's nature. That's the way we do things. And where did it come from? Right over there in the garden. That stuff is passed on. But watch this. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. You can't blame your sin on God. James said, when it's conceived, James said, God's not tempted, neither did he tempt any man. He could have turned. He could have turned. But he said, that thou mayest be, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. See, David used that right there. And a lot of times, that's our excuse. We say, well, God, and you hear that in the world all the time. Well, why'd God give us those desires if he did not think it was okay? You work around a bunch of construction workers, you'll hear that kind of talk, usually, when they're sent. But you know what? He freely gave what we have desires for. Do you realize that? Under the laws and regulations of this book, he freely gave it to us. And it's free. Of every tree of the Garden of Eden, but the two that was in the middle, tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil, He said, thou hast freely eaten. Now, he may have later on eat of the tree of life. I don't know. But that's the reason God drove him out of the garden. So that he would not partake of the tree of life and live forever in that sinful state. That's grace. That's grace. Now let me go back to 2 Samuel 12. You see what, how David's done, but look here what the prophet's going to tell him. I tell you, this book is amazing to me every time I pick it up, every time I follow through it and see how God does things from beginning to the end and how it goes. And I want you to watch these words now. We know the story, how that Nathan came to David and he told him about the lamb, the pet lamb. And let's start reading in verse 4. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. You see that word, surely? Now watch it. There's some freely coming in here too. There's some sure death. Sin is sure death. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You the one. You the one who took that lamb. But listen on. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave ye thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosoms. You see that? Freely. He freely had his desires to be met. But the lust of the eyes. You see that? James is talking about that lust. That lust is what brings that sin. Looking, and then that lust is conceived. And that's what happened to David. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. And I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto you such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. God has taken care of every desire that we have. Do you realize that? God has taken care of the desires that man has of his flesh. But if he wants to sin, if he wants to feed that flesh and lust after that flesh, you can't blame it on God. Well, God made me that way. No, he didn't. God has provided for every one of us. And the marriage is a sacred thing, isn't it? But look what God's gave us. And David even pronounced judgment on himself. Now I want you to look over here. So you see the freely part there. When Eve looked and she saw that the fruit was good, right? I was wondering as I read this week, what did she see? Did he take and bite it and the juice run down his mouth? Or if it was grapes, did he pluck off a bunch of them and put them in there in the juice and she saw that it was good? And she wanted knowledge. She wanted to be as gods, the Bible said. Is that what she wanted? There's two things that run this world today. One's God and the other's education. People get mad at me when I say that, and I'm serious. But man, education is good in a godly atmosphere. Science is good in a godly atmosphere, buddy. Don't you believe in a minute that it ain't. You're going to do crafts that Ernest and I did in a year. You're going to use some science. You're going to use some formulas. You're going to use some things, and it's good. But the Bible is the final authority, it says in Psalms 119, on all matters. And that is, anything, it's the final authority. And people don't like that. People don't like that final authority. You got a problem with sin, lay it out before God. That's what Achan had to do, didn't he? He had to lay it out there. David's having to lay it out there, but he pronounced that judgment. Let me get down here to another place. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, you know, when I look at that, I think, well, buddy, you sinned against Uriah too, didn't you? That's what comes into my mind. You sinned against your neighbor. You see, but sin is not against our neighbor. It's against God. It's always against God. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. You see, that's what the devil used on Eve. You shall not surely die. Right? He got her looking at the physical part. I honestly believe that. But she died spiritually when she ate. All right. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. What I see in this, you may not see that. That's okay. You see the freely. And you see the surely. And you see the descendant. That child, when Eve, Adam, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Adam, all sinned. He passed that on to that child. But that child shall surely die, the prophet said. And that child died physically, but that child had a spiritual death too because of the sin of Adam. All right? Now, the pride of life. I mean, I got to be careful how I word this because I have great respect for people who work hard and achieve what they get. I'm not one who believes that you ought to pass it all on. I'm not one that believes that. But I believe that materialism, knowing the price of everything and the value of nothing, that's what materialism is. These people who can give you the facts, and facts is not wisdom. God gives wisdom. These people who can give you the facts on everything, but materialism is one of the biggest things, the lust of those eyes. That's why America spends thousands of dollars to run it through this camera. And it works. It even works when we don't know it's working. When you've seen back years ago, they finally exposed them at the theaters where they'd pop a hamburger in there, and you didn't know they popped a hamburger in there, but you got hungry. 66 one-hundredths of the second, you know, the blinking of an eye. That's what GE says. If we can keep our picture flat back in those days of the TV, 66 one-hundredths of a second, better. But they could pop something in that picture, and that eye would see it, and that brain would say, well, I'm hungry for that. I'm going to get up and go get some popcorn because I thought I wanted popcorn. But materialism, knowing the price of everything and the value of nothing. I don't want to be getting on my boy here, but I do a lot, so I don't mind. I don't believe he'd mind me using an illustration, but he can use tools and just leave them laying. How many of your children's that way? Nod your head. And it'll disturb you. But when he had, I've told him many times, if you'd come along when I come along, I've got the set of tools I bought in 1970. I still have the biggest part of those tools that didn't break. Because they cost me labor. When you know the value of something, when you've had to pay for that value of something. But in America today, we don't know the value of anything, hardly. We're wasteful. We don't know the value of a meal because we've wasted so much. The value of nothing. Materialism is lust of those eyes. I want what somebody else has got. I want. That's all right. In 2 Samuel 12:5-7, we see, and David's anger was greatly kindled, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." What I'm giving you this for, and it just hit me this week as I studied it, but I saw the freely and the surely here. The Nathan come back, and when we stand before God, as David did, and he judges us, there's no excuse. The prophet told him, said, God gave you the king's, everything the king had. We've been given what we need. There's no need to lust for more and to sin against God. It's not, there's no need in it. And then in 12:7-8, where he told him, said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had not been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee this such and such things. If you ask, I'll give you those things." Okay? Genesis 2:16. Is where it talks about freely. Those things that were given. God, everybody says, well, he put something out there to tempt them. No, he didn't. They had everything they needed to freely eat. Adam was given all the knowledge he needed. He named the animals. But he wanted to be as God. Why? Because Satan, from beginning to the end. All right. Threefold sentence. We'll continue on this. We're not going to get through with any much of this week. But I want us to look at in Genesis 3. I want you to notice something in Genesis chapter 3. The questions. In verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" You know, God knew, but he's going to ask you. Every one of us is going to stand before God and we're going to be asked. You say, well, I'm saved. You're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And he might not say, "Where are you?" He's going to say, "Where were you?" all right. Now let's go on. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I did hide myself." Then here's another question. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Where and who?" Okay, that's what we've got now. And he said, "Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten?" Question. Watch these questions. Where? Who? How? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, "The woman who gave us to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this?" You see this? Who? What? Where? Questions. God's asking some questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We're headed that way, brother. That's good. That's good. Thank you. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done? You, God knows all the answers, but you're going to lay it out before him. That's what you do in repentance. I have sinned is okay. But call them out to God. Right? Sometimes we have hidden sin. David said that even, to reveal that hidden sin in our heart. Sin is what separated Adam and Eve from God. And we'll see the things that they lose in just a minute. And the Lord God said unto the serpent. Now I want you to look at this. He asked four questions. He asked where, and he asked who, and he asked hast or have, and then he asked what. But he never asked Satan a question. Not one. You know why? Because he's dealt with that rascal before. He's done told him what he's going to do. I will ascend to the throne. I will. I'll destroy everything you do. He didn't ask him a question. He just told him what was going to happen with him. And another thing that I'm looking at there is no repentance for him. Amen? Shake your head one way or the other. You scare me when you don't move. There's no repentance for him. When God asks us a question, you think he won't ask you a question through this book? See, then you just lay it out before God and confess it. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We got to lay it out there. But how are you going to ever be asked if you're not in the book or not under the word? Okay? I lose my thoughts when I get off the beaten trail. But we see here the questions that God asked, though. And then we're going to look now upon the serpent, Genesis 3:14. We're going to see what he pronounced on him. And 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah 65:25. See, this is going to continue. The preacher read this the other week in Wednesday night service. The wolf, 65:25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, saith the Lord. See, that curse is going right on through the millennium. He put it on him, and it's going to stay on him, and it'll cast him in the lake of fire. Now, we won't get into this part of the lesson, but that goes on all the way into the millennium. Now, when we look at the results of Adam's sin, we see shame, right? We see fear, discord, and death. And I'm going to go through these quickly, then hit them again next week. But let's look at Genesis 3:7. You know, when the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of people, they don't see these things. There's no shame anymore. The God of this world, he's finding out every way he can. And when he blinds that shame, there's no shame. Look how fast this world is progressing toward hell. Look how fast it's going. Yeah. And the eyes of them both, and the eyes of them both were opened. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Shame. You know, We'll cover these better next week, but in Psalm 69:7, Hebrews 12:2, Christ endured the shame. Do you realize Adam put a curse on this earth? He sent Adam out to till the earth from whence he came. Right? He said, you come out of the... He even cursed the earth that he was taken from. And he sent him out. Do you know Christ even bore the shame of that? With thorns on his head. I wondered for years, you know, thorns, what? That's just somebody mocking him. But no, that was God putting the curse of this earth on his head. The thorns that this earth bore. He's bore all these things now. Everything that came upon Adam and Eve from this, even the separation from God. He hath reconciled us to God. All of these things. Fear. We don't have fear of death anymore when we're saved, do we? Look at discord. I'm going to cover all these better next week. Discord, Genesis 3:12. And the man said, the woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. I'm sure that made a lot of happiness in the home. When the woman found out, she blamed God, or he blamed her. But as Dwayne said a while ago, there's separation. Do you realize that Adam knew that Eve would be separated from him? She's going to be separated from the tree of life. Adam didn't, you know, he made a choice. He made a free choice. He said, the woman that thou gavest to me, she gave me and I did eat. And then we'll cover a lot of this a little bit later with scriptures. And look at death. Romans 5:7-8. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. He's covered death. He has the keys. Do you not thank God he has the keys? That I don't have the keys? I thank God that nobody in here has the keys. They'd lock me out. We lock everybody. We lock people out, don't we? We lock people out. But Jesus had the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He's the one that's got the keys. Suffering. Pouring that concrete, Dwayne. That suffering. I was pulling that screed, and I got so tired of pulling that screed. I was scooting on my rear end pulling that screed. I mean, after a while, I'd done all I could do. But you know that came from sin, curse. Having to beat that ground and toil, that's come from it. But you know God, Jesus Christ, has bore all those things. He bore our shame. He was naked. The first Adam sowed fig leaves. He had knowledge, didn't he? Man, he come up of the way quick because he had that newfound knowledge. I know what to do now. I'll make some fig leaves. It didn't work. God didn't accept it. Suffering, he said he'd greatly multiply his sorrow. Weariness of labor. You realize in that garden, everything just took care of itself. The weeds didn't grow. The ground was fertile. But he told Adam, he sent him forth from the garden to till the earth from whence he came. That curse. But God, like I said a while ago, God paid the curse. You realize, and let me end today's lesson. Let's go to Romans chapter, I think it's Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start reading in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then ours, ours of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. That child shall surely die. That child, from the product of sin, the child died. Now, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption in the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. All creation, the earth, those little birds, when they sing, they know that. That the Lord has redeemed this earth. And they're waiting for the redemption. And he bore the curse on the earth when he bore those thorns on his head. And we'll have a new heaven. There'll be a new glorified body. There'll be a new earth. New heaven and new earth. Because Jesus has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And like I said, I'm glad he's the one who has the keys. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your word. Pray, God, that it'll be a blessing to everyone. Help us, God, that when we look, God, that we'll turn. We will not sin. We won't lust. The materialism of this world, God, it doesn't mean anything. Help us, God, to know the value of what you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.